Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. We also invite you to join us for worship this morning. Our worship's at 10:30 in our church at 101 North Oak. That's the church with the clock and the steeple. Sunday school starts at 9:30. And it also mentions our sister church out on Highway K, Salem United Church of Christ, has worship at 8:30. We would be glad to see you. The Meredith Walford family leads us in lighting the second Advent candle, the candle of peace.
Today is the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of peace. Our peace is found in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist and all the prophets remind us that to receive peace, we must be prepared for it. We light this candle today to remind us that Christ is Prince of Peace, the one promised from the beginning of the world. We thank God for the hope He gives us and for the peace He bestows us.
Please stand as we sing, Come Thou Mighty King. Join me in the prayer of the day. O God of peace, Emmanuel, we pray to you, send your light into our hearts. Help us to ready for the day and the hour of Christ's appearing. Work in our hearts at this time, and help us to prepare ourselves the peace of the brings. In your peace, tell us. We are united with you, and we are the peace which will come with the church of the world. Bless our worship, that it may be pleasing unto you.
Bless us,
faithful servant. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
Our Good Vibrations Bell Choir plays our special music, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Alan Chambers reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Eddie's sermon, A Time of Peace.
Will you please join me for the prayer for illumination? Holy Spirit of peace, breathe upon us as we hear your word. May the shoot of new life you promise in Isaiah take root in our hearts today. Through your truth, guide us to repentance, that we may bear fruit worthy of your kingdom. In Christ we pray. Amen. Today's first scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees, and the writers who keep writing oppression, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil, and that they may take the fatherless their prey. What will you do on the day of punishment, in the storm which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or to fall among the slain. For all his anger is not turned away, and his hand is still stretched out. Ah, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff of my fury. Against a godless nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take spoil and seize plunder, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. But he does not so intend, and his mind does not think, but in his mind to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few, for he says, are not my commanders all kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish, and Hamath not like Arpad? Is not Samaria like Damascus? As my hand it has reached to the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven images were greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Here ends today's lesson.
Once upon a time, there was an auspicious painter who walked into a small town, maybe a little smaller than California. And he found this clapboard church that was kind of old and raggedy and looked like it needed to be painted. And so he talked to the board and he told the board that he could paint that church and all it would cost them was the paint. And he would be more than willing to paint it if they would pay for the paint and let him stay in the church while he was painting it. And the board said, "Well, that sounds like a really good idea, and it sounds like it was worth the amount of money that they would have to pay." It made sense. It wasn't going to cost them any more than the cost of the pain. And so they agreed to do this. And so the next day they bought the paint. And they made a little space in the basement, a cot and a little comfortable spot for him. And he started to prepare the outside of the church to be painted. And they started making meals for him, and he just loved what was going on, and he kept working on the church. And they were liking what he was doing, and he was doing a great job. And he was painting the church, and the church was looking wonderful. 2 weeks had gone by, and the church was brilliant, starry white. And when the sun shone on this church, it was a dazzling white. And 2 more weeks went by, and he was done painting, and the church looked amazing. And so the church decided, since he did such a wonderful job, they would give him a going away party. And on top of that, the board decided that they would give him a gift, a monetary gift, for all the hard work that he did. And he wasn't going to not accept that monetary gift, because it was a gift, and he didn't want to not accept that, because that would be rude. And so the party went and gone, and he took the money, and he left the church, and he went on his way. And the weather stayed wonderful for a month, and it stayed hot and sunny and wonderful for a second month. Well, the third month, like all Missourians know, you can't have 3 months of wonderful weather in a row. The winds start blowing, only like Missourians know. And the rains start coming, only like us know. And it wasn't just a drizzle, it was those torrential downpours, like we know. And so the people in the congregation went to the church, and all around the church, they saw a white foam around the church. And the paint had come off the church, and the church was back to what it had looked like. And they realized that they had been duped. Well, one of the board members decided that they were not going to take this lightly, and they decided that they were going to make sure that they were going to take it a step further, and we're going to just have a little fun with this. And so on their marquee outside their church, they decided to put a sign. And on their sign, they put, "Repaint and thin no more." Thank you. Thank you for your response. Salem didn't either get it or didn't want to respond. Thank you so much. We can go home now. Brothers and sisters, this is the second Sunday in Advent. We are talking about peace, and we are in the Sunday where John the Baptist is in the midst of what's going on. And it is not an easy Sunday, because John the Baptist is not the angels. John the Baptist is not the shepherds, and we're wanting and we're waiting for the angels to show up. And we're wanting and we're waiting for those shepherds to come walking down the aisle. You know those pageants we used to have as a kid? When we were little kids having to walk down the aisles because our parents made us do it. You remember those in the bathrobes and the, yeah. You remember those. They're not here yet. We're still talking about John the Baptist and camel hair and leather girdles and honey and locusts, and it doesn't fit. And how do we make John the Baptist and his craziness telling us to repent fit alongside peace? It's a hard fit. It's a difficult fit. And you gotta work really hard at making it fit. But we're gonna make it fit today, or we're gonna try. I wanna suggest something. I wanna suggest that the fit is simple. If we talk about John and we talk about how he makes this fit, we talk about peace beginning at truth. That we have to begin, that peace begins with truth. If we want to believe in what peace is, peace has to begin with us being truthful with ourselves and with one another. And so John takes us to a place that is quiet. He takes us to the wilderness. Guess what, folks? The wilderness does not have Hobby Lobby and does not have Walgreens and does not have trees and does not have all the craziness and the chaos. And the wilderness does not have yet one more Christmas ornament to put on the tree. It does not have one more party to go to. John takes us to the wilderness where it is quiet and the chaos is gone. John takes us to where peace is quiet. He takes us to where be still and know that I am God is exactly that. It is be still and know that I am God. That is what peace is about. Peace is not about be still and know that I am God when you're ready. It is be still here and now and know that I am God when you are in the midst of God. Peace is in the midst of who we are, and God is in the midst of who we are. Peace requires us to provide preparation. And that happened to me at Salem. And you know something? It was in my purse. So all is good. Peace takes some preparation. You need to be about the business of letting go of the craziness. You need to be about the business of letting go of all the little things that you want to keep. You want to let it go. If you don't let it go, if you keep it bottled up, if you keep all the little things that keep nagging at you, keep them bottled up, you will never get to the peace of God. You will never get to the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you keep the brokenness and the hurt and the anger and the frustration and the irritation, you will never get to the healing and the wholeness. You will never get to the peace that passes all human understanding. That is the peace that God gives us, that only God can give us. That is the peace that John is trying to give us. That is the peace that is that candle. Peace is not a passive thing. Peace passes. Peace is not passive. It bears fruit. It causes us to be merciful. It causes us to show compassion to one another. It causes us to be gracious to one another. Even when we don't want to be gracious to one another. My husband went to Salem with me this morning. He's not feeling very well. And he heard my phone ring in the middle of my sermon this morning. And I knew I was going to hear a comment in the car on the way from Salem to the house. It took every ounce of energy for me to be gracious. Every ounce of energy to be gracious. But I was able to do it. Because that graciousness is what we are called to do. That compassion is what we are asked to do. To be compassionate with one another and merciful. Because that is where healing comes. That is where healing begins. Peace comes from Jesus. We don't do it on our own. We never did, and we never will. Because peace comes from the one, the only one who can give it to us. I want to suggest to you that the wilderness is an amazing place where things happen. Because it is in the wilderness where we find a lot of things. It is in those places that we find a lot of health. In the wilderness, we find a lot of health. In the wilderness, we are able to see God. In the wilderness, we are able to understand God. In the wilderness, we are able to feel God. In the wilderness, we are able to open our hearts to God. In the wilderness, we are able to understand God's wants from us. Peace starts in the wilderness, and peace roots itself down in the wilderness. My hope for you this day, my prayer for you this day, is that when you hear the voice of John, whether it is some strange, weird pastor shouting at the children in a children's sermon, repent, that you hear that strange, weird pastor shouting, prepare, repent, do something, bear fruit, be merciful, show compassion. And all that means is don't just sit. Show the peace of God. to your fellow human beings. May the peace of God be with you all. Amen. Please join me in singing, "I've Got Peace Like a River." Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, our loving Creator, close to us as breathing and distant as the furthest star, we thank you for your constant love for all you have made. We thank you for all that sustains life, for all people of faith in every generation who has given themselves to your will, especially for Jesus Christ, who you sent from your own being as our Savior. We praise you for Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, and for calling forth of your church for the mission of the world. Gifted by the presence of your Holy Spirit in the beloved community of your church, we await Christ's return at the end of history. We take courage from the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. In the midst, we offer you our praise for men and women of every faith in every age who stand as witness in your love and justice, and in prophets and martyrs and saints of all the company of heaven, we glorify you. And we pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors.
And